Now, this is your meeting, and after I make a short presentation, hopefully you'll have some questions or ideas, suggestions, what I can take back to help you. First, everybody knows it's election year. I've got 4 more days to the voting time. If you haven't voted, I ask for your vote. That's the political side of it. And why is because I believe I've been able to do the job for you over the years I've served you. I've watched a lot of growth in the regions and the state as a whole. And I don't think there's a time where I haven't responded to your needs if it's possible. My job is to get it done. Some people will tell you, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The only thing I'm really going to do is represent you back in Washington, D.C. if it's land use, government use of any kind, education, all those different things. I've watched the growth of Bethel itself. At one time, I've gone to most of your villages when we had our own airplane we could go and come back. Now I can't do that legally, no side charter. And I don't have that kind of money, and you haven't given me a pay raise in 13 years, so keep that in mind. And so it is a challenge, and we have a different era of time. And I just noticed my shirt tail is out. That really looks nice, because I had my coat, and I had this brand new coat, by the way. I didn't have this when I first came in. Mike took care of me. I had a Nana coat on. Not too smart, but it was warm, so I had it. So I have this one on now, and it's plenty warm in here. Challenges to Alaska, right up front with you, accessibility to our lands. You have an area here that I'm well acquainted with when it comes to the road refuge. I've argued over the years we ought to have some of these refuges in some of the parks that are in proximity to the communities. Have you manage them? I don't see why not. Some people don't like that idea. I think it's the right way to go. You have the capability, you have the knowledge to do it. And I think it'd be the right thing to do, and you employ people instead of setting money outside in time. Now, again, I have to say I've been in this job 45 years. I've been blessed. My contract comes up every 2 years, and you have a chance to get rid of me or keep me. And someone will say, well, it's time for him to go. And I can only suggest one thing. If you want the job done, you get Don Young to do it. And I've done that over and over and over again. 81 bills I've had signed into law, more than any other congressman in history. Most of those were Alaskan laws, affecting Alaskans, communities and individuals, and I've been able to do that because I listen to you and I work with you, and I have very good staff. I have a former staffer right here, used to work for me, and I have another from Jerry. Mike works me indirectly. He doesn't know that yet. He won't get fired because I'm here, and then we're going to get some money for it. And saw the EDA problem. EDA, where is that right? EDA, right. I've heard it 100 times. And for the rest of the people in the room you may not know, I have Chad Padgett, who is my state legislative director, or my director. And lastly, but not leastly, the piano player back there in the back. Come on, lady, hit the keys. Is my wife. And I have to say one thing. I am a mature citizen. I was blessed with a wife for 46 and a half years, supported me immensely, very lovely lady, and I got very lucky, guys. I found another one equally as beautiful, equally as talented, and is dedicated to taking care of me. So you're gonna have to put up with me for quite a bit of time. You give me a mic, does that thing work?
It should.
It doesn't sound like it's on.
I'll go check it again.
I don't think it's on. You know, anyway, it makes no difference. You can hear me anyway, but we'll use the mic. But see, you interrupted me introducing my wife. Mainly, I love her, but mainly she's a nurse. Flight nurse, Vietnam. And I figured I couldn't afford Obamacare, so I married her. And she said, wait till you get the bill. So I better leave that alone. The challenges we have back east are mostly media challenges in the sense a lot of hysteria. I call it hysteria, and let's just solve problems. Let's do it bipartisanly. And I'm rated one of the most bipartisan individuals in the Congress. I passed the pipeline bill. People forget that. That's a long time ago, over 42 years ago. I passed the 200-mile limit, the fishing limit. I've done all that by working with the other side. That's my goal, and I'll continue to do that. And with those short words, I'd just like to open it up for questions, suggestions, and don't be bashful. I'm one of the few politicians I think you'll listen to that does not like to make long speeches. And you notice I have nothing in writing. It all comes from right here, and what I believe in strongly for the state, and that's up to you to answer. Ask me the questions. Hopefully, I can be of assistance to you. If I can't be, I'll tell you. But that's the key to my success. So with that, thank you very much, and I gladly answer any questions. Now, who's going to go to the front of the class? Any suggestions? Any ideas? Come on, let's go. Yes, sir.
Just Mike's here, and then there's an ED lead air support throughout this region, and we've got the flight school that's been shut down for quite a long time, and it's part of the Ted Stevens work too, and it's presently shut down, and is there anything?
Well, if it's shut down, we have high hopes it's going to be opened up in the very near future, if I've been correctly informed.
The maintenance side of it.
And the flight school, I understand we're working on that too. This is an area that depends on air. By the way, essential air, I kept essential air. That was going to be eliminated. People didn't think it was the right thing to do for other people paying for essential air in the state of Alaska. Well, that's crucial in the rural areas, but it's also crucial, I'm going to sit down, it's also crucial in the other parts of the state too. But some people didn't quite see that. We're going to keep that process in. Now, shortage of pilots exist. Shortage of truck drivers exist. I can go down where we're short. In fact, there was an article in the paper yesterday about everybody getting concerned about it. We do expand the state of Alaska. Where are we going to get the workers? So we're going to take care of that program. And I've got a good information source on how this is going to continue to expand in the state of Alaska. Just came out of the school this afternoon. Quite pleased with what's being taught over there. A lot of new subjects, a lot of work. And I get in trouble sometimes because I think every child in Alaska has a right to go to college. Not all of them should go to college. And I say that, I'm a classic example. I never went to college until 2 years after I was out. I was a D8 cab driver and made a lot of money. I was 18 years old and making $495 a week. Think about that, it's like $4,000. Driving in the mountains, but I made enough money to go to school during those 2 years. So it helps to learn a little bit with these things. What else we got? God, a quiet bunch. Young man, thank you. Welcome. You got your dark glasses on now. I can see you.
Carol.
You got a question?
No.
Any comments? Yes, sir.
I got a comment, Congressman Young. Public safety is very minimal out here. One of the ideas that has been floating around is to institute the BIA officer, police officer program in rural Alaska. But I understand that we have barriers that we need to overcome. One is Public Law 280, and the second is we don't have lands into trust and or reservations in Alaska. Is there a way that we can get those barriers take those barriers down and move forward with having BIA police officers in rural Alaska?
Well, two things I'm concerned with. Be very careful with the BIA. Right up front of you, they're very inefficient, have not done a good job in the lower 48. I believe the tribes can do a better job themselves. We ought to look, what is the possibility of the tribes having the authority and the money to train police officers in that community? And by the way, it isn't just police. That won't solve the problem. The problem also exists within the villages and the communities itself. There's a responsibility there. This is a huge problem. You know, violence, drinking, everything else. I would do one thing, and I'd get, very frankly, people don't like the idea. When I first came to Alaska, being drunk in public was a crime. You could not walk the streets. You were put in incarcerated. The next day, you didn't go to jail. You stayed in jail that night. The next day, you paid the fine or you contributed the time working for the community which you've taken, frankly, done a disservice to. It works. It made it a disease, and it is not considered criminal anymore. And if you check the violence occurrence, most of it comes under the influence of alcohol or other drugs. So to answer your question to the BIA, yes, we could probably work out something, but not with the BIA. Let the villages have the authority themselves. Let the communities have the authority to take and police themselves and give them money for training the officers. That'd be my solution. Because I, very frankly, I've gone to too many reservations in the lower 48. Land and trust sounds good for individual buildings or maybe something like that, but not the land itself. I think you'd end up being hamstrung again by the government. And the American Indian, if if you want to say, has been in hamstrung with 56 million acres of land. They live in conditions 10 times worse than any place in the state of Alaska. And they've been under that control for hundreds of years. So I'm saying don't do it. That's my own opinion on it. Now, that was a long answer. Yes, sir.
Just, and I asked Senator Murkowski about this the other day, was that a lot of our land here is in restricted status, that when people want to sell, and the process, again, BIA, has been extremely slow in just bringing out even small parcels of that. So is there some way, when someone wants to sell, is there some way that might be, or legislation or something, to help speed that up, that process, so that it's not so slow? When someone wants to sell a piece of land, that they actually can sell it.
And if it has a restricted classification or a split estate, that's really the big problem. If there's a family passed away there, and there's 10 people, then you split it up, it goes on and on. It's very difficult to do. We are actually looking into trying finding a solution to that. I can't give you a concrete answer now how it'll be done, but that is an apparent problem nationwide and in Alaska too. There's got to be a way it can be consolidated, or a quicker way to buy land. You know, it's very difficult to buy land too from her over here. So that is an issue that we have looked at. We have not reached a solution to it yet. If anybody has any ideas, we'll gladly try to address that, because it's a problem.
And I'm just thinking of it takes so long. It's such a long period. Often it can be accomplished, but it's just a very arduous process. But
and it's hard to get financing when you have a long period of time. So no, I will try to background check that. I got staff in the room right now. They'll be on the phone this evening and talking to my guys and in Indian Affairs back east to see if there's either any legislation or any administrative way we can do it. And if we can't, we'll let you know. If we can do it, your suggestion is, I think, has merit, you know. What else we got? Yes, sir.
Ray Watson, you had to get on many flights to get out here into Bethel. You got into Anchorage from Seattle to D.C. But I wanted to say that those same planes that are coming in here are bringing the opioids. And years ago, the local tribe had a resolution to address that in terms of screening the other airlines. In other words, the Alaska Airlines does their, you know, the TSA screening. However, the smaller airlines doesn't do anything. So you could practically have a backpack on your back and come into Bethel with a lot of opioids. And I'm just wondering if the government, the feds, are doing anything proactive to address the president's position on the opioids.
We appropriated a lot of money. We're not sure where it's going to go. It'll probably go to the state. I know what you're talking about. I have a young lady named Fields in Fort Yukon. It raised the money, bought a dog, the whole bit, and the state said we couldn't do it. But the dog was in the airports wherever the small airlines went, and they checked every bag it went through there with the dog. And they tried to argue it was an infringement upon, you know, civil rights, etc. But this is a big problem, and we need to look at how do you solve it. I think that, you know, that each village have a right to stop it as it comes in, but it ought to be stopped before it gets here. And that means dog sniffers, or checking the baggage from the units that are leaving Anchorage Airport to bring them in. Mail's another problem. A lot of it comes through mail. Now we're trying to put dogs and the sniffers in the post offices. Because the constant, I call it intrusion of opioids and other drugs into a community has to be stopped if we're ever going to get ahead of this program. And the way you stop it is not allowed in and try to stop it to be shipped to begin with. I argue the dogs are well done, and you know, villages should have a right to make it whatever they wish to do. We have certain villages in my region right now that they inspect the luggage when it comes through. Some people say that's an infringement. I just argue that stops it. You know. You're absolutely right. What else we got? Yes, sir.
As you all may know, we have one of the largest tributaries going upriver in our region, about 42 villages. They depend, the tribes, what we're hearing on the radio, the tribes depend on what they used to call, or what they thought they had, was called subsistence. And we're regulated, we're not, we go by the state's escapement numbers of fish going up the river, passing, whatever they do, the escapement. We would like to see some type of funding to verify the state's count, because the state, we're going by one counting system, the state of Alaska, and many of us have been living up there and hunting near these weirs where they use electronics. Many things make electronics don't work. Not long ago when they used to count with the counters as fish went by the creeks. We would like to see the tribes at least get some type of funding to verify the state's escapement count. Because a long time ago, as you well know, we used to, and still people, the small villages are uneducated in what they call subsistence. There's no such a thing as subsistence. In my mind, when the state starts allocating one or two fish per family because of their count, we would, all we want to have is the tribes find funding to verify the state's escapement numbers. Because as you well know, that's all the whole rivers and the Yukon are going by the one counting system. We just want to verify if it's truly why we are hurt. And subsistence used to be because in fear of the, even the salmon thing is scaring us, the salmon boat. The salmon boat, in my own opinion, is up there, they say it's up there at the, where the fish lay the eggs. Well, if the state has its way, they are gonna rule, they're gonna pressure on the fish here going to them spawning grounds, and that's gonna hurt these people that believe that one time they had subsistence, which they never really did have. Today it's called wild fish and wild game, like it used to be a long time ago when the state of Alaska didn't have the quite enough funding for employees and the equipment to monitor all these. Now that they're getting more money, I don't know from where, they're starting to rule us, and what we used to call subsistence is now what I call allocation.
I'm listening to you and sort of grinning because you're absolutely right. There should be more than one counter. And it might, and I say this because I'm on the Yukon, and you're in the Kuskokwim. But we're relying on one source of information. The water's too high, if somebody doesn't want to operate, I don't know what the quotas or quantities are coming up, so we rely on that. And I've argued the government should put in one counter on the Yukon, primarily because of the Canadians. That's where we base the escapements, so many fish get into the Canadian waters. And I'd like to see a counter, and this is where some of you won't agree, I'd like to see the tribes organize and Calista take and fund a counter too, so you have a counter that belongs to you. And I'd like to have the state have this counter, so you have a tribal counter, a government counter, and a state counter. Now, it doesn't mean you argue, it means that you compile the numbers together. Okay, are we getting the escapement? Is the fish healthy as far as the numbers? So you
that's
end up having, pardon?
That's all we want.
That's all you want.
That's so all
not,
we want.
But you know, but it takes three to tangle in this.
One-sided now as we speak.
Yeah, but that's what we need
and
to
that's
do.
That's not fair.
I understand, but I'm just saying, as a group of tribes, how many villages you have around here, all ought to band together with Calista and put in a counter. And the government can help you put in a counter too. So you got three counters, state, government, and yourselves. I don't trust one side against the other. I want to know how many fish there are. And the term subsistence, by the way, didn't exist until I put it into the Alaska National Lands Act. I did it, very frankly, for the rural people of this state. So they would have food to eat. I don't want to see all the fish caught, but if there's abundance of them, they should be able to be eligible to be caught. And that's what we have to do with the county. You can't do it with one county. I agree with you 100%. You know. And by the way, I have a problem on the Yukon. You don't have it here on the Kuskokwim as much because I have the people on the Yukon at the lower part want to be able to have a a commercial fishery, and yet the upper part hasn't got a subsistence use. You know, that's the problem. I got to get everybody to sit down and talk about how many fish there are and do it legitimately, how many they are and what are be available. That'll be the way to do it. I appreciate what you're saying.